Y'all tired of seeing me yet? In the youth group, we've been walking through Proverbs lately. If you've studied through Proverbs yourself, it is full of life lessons. And they repeat themselves because I think they need to be, and they warrant the time and the study. But so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go through some of the verses we've already. Actually, no, this is what we're studying this week in youth group. So I just wanted to go ahead and go through it because there's a lot to unpack and it's some good material. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. I just thank you for this church. Thank you for all the people in it. I just pray that you be with the ones that couldn't be here. I just ask a special prayer for Dallas and Lynn as they continue to visit with family. And just pray that you'll comfort them as they go through this process of laying Lynn's mother to rest, Lord. And just pray that you'll be with them as they're over there and bring them back safe later on this week. And just ask that you be with me and just help me, Lord. Just help me to bring your word in a way that's pleasing to you. We love you and thank you. Amen. So I titled this sermon, The Value of Wisdom. And we're going to be in Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. And I'm reading from the CSB translation. Says, happy is a man who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding. For she is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her path peaceful. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who hold on to her are happy. So, little background here. King Solomon wrote the first 29 chapters of Proverbs, and then some other guys finished it up with their writings or either recordings of Solomon's material. But we know Solomon was widely known as the wisest and wealthiest king of that time and probably ever. He was a son of King David and Bathsheba, and he was a result of their sinful affair. During his reign, so he took over after King David. He took over the throne from his father. But during his reign, the nation of Israel reached its peak of prosperity in territory. That he implemented some serious international trade that wasn't in existence beforehand, and he even brought them to a time of peace like they had never seen before. The nation of Israel was constantly at war beforehand, but he brought them into a time of peace. And guys, his success was a direct result of his obedience to God and his willingness to seek God's wisdom in ruling these people. Early on in his reign, he noticed and felt like he was incapable, like he was inadequate, and like he couldn't do the job or live up to his father's legacy. So instead of just throwing in the towel or folding, he went to God and he prayed. He prayed for wisdom and discernment. And because of that, we have his life lessons that reflect on what God blessed him with after he sought out God's wisdom. And that's what we're looking at today. So we're going to walk through verse by verse and just pick apart these verses and see what they have for us. So verse 13 says, happy is a man who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding. The ESV version or translation of this verse, instead of happy, it says blessed. And the New Living Translation uses the word joyful instead of blessed. So in those three translations, we have three different words or characteristics that describe the result of wisdom in our life. And all three of them, I mean, who wouldn't be happy, or who wouldn't want more happiness, joy, or blessings in their life? We all would. So Solomon, in his writing, he's urging the people that are directly receiving these writings in that time, and us now today, he's urging people to seek out God's wisdom in order to find a truly happy life. We talked about this a little bit last week, actually, but he saw the fruit of what he did when he went before God and asked for that wisdom and discernment. He saw what it resulted in, and King Solomon wanted other people to have that. So he wrote it down, and he sent it out, and he wanted other people to be able to enjoy the same things that God blessed him with. So when we look at the word find here, what does it mean? Does it mean something that we just stumble upon? Does it mean something like we got lucky and just, tripped on it? Not quite. When I was little, my sister used to babysit us a lot. And I'm about to tell on us all. Not all of us. It was just two of us, Mom. It was just two of us that time. She took me and somebody else to the movie theater. I don't know who it was. And we watched the movie, and we come out to the hallway. And it was during the summer, so it was during the day and nobody was there. And we come out to the hallway, and, it's black. And you walk out, and it's like light. And there's all this cash laying in the hallway on the floor. And we're like, nobody's around. My sister had to have been 16, so I was probably 12. So we didn't do the right thing. We took the money. We turned it in. Like, I ain't even going to lie. We did not do the right thing. We did not, Mom. I'm sorry. And it was a lot of money for like a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old. And we just grabbed what we could. Everybody that grabbed, whatever you grabbed was yours. And I was quick. So I got it. But that stumbling upon something, that's just being in the right place at the right time and then doing the wrong thing with it. But here we are. I had a bad day, I guess. But that's not what we're talking about here. When he says find here, it means seeking after something, searching for something, doing your due diligence, having some skin in the game, going to find something. Because when you do that, instead of just looking out on something and tripping on it, when you work for it and you look for it, the reward is a whole lot sweeter at the end. And that's what it's talking about here. To find wisdom, when we look for it, when we search for it, when we pray for it, when we find it, it's so sweet we never want to let it go. Because it offers us so much. Most people here know I'm a pretty big deer hunter. I wait all year. And that's my time. And I love it. But and I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. Like, don't, to each his own. You do you. I've never been on like a big paid hunt or like a pen raised deer where when the dinner bell rings, they just kind of walk out. That's not my kind of hunt. Cause you pay for it, but you don't really work for it. I work all year long. To get to hunt, and I'm blessed to be able to hunt. But I put in the legwork. So then when I shoot the deer I shoot, whether it's a doe or a big buck, whatever it is, like I've done the work for it. It's more rewarding. And then when I put it on my dinner table at night, it tastes a lot better too. Because yes, I pay money for it, but I don't pay $20,000 to go shoot one underneath the feeder. But that's what we're talking about here. We work for it, and there's a reward at the end, and it's sweet. When we look at the word acquire, acquiring here means trading. We have to trade something to acquire knowledge. If that don't make sense, listen, we have to trade either time or effort or comfort to gain understanding. When we're talking about our walk with God, we might have to gain understanding by being corrected or disciplined. So to acquire that understanding, you might have to lose some comfort for a little bit, because you might have to go through some correcting and some discipline to get it. Because we learn through hard times. We learn a lot when we're at the bottom. That's what this is talking about. To obtain understanding, we'll have to give up something. Verse 14 and 15 says, "For she is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her." Men, listen to me. Men, not specifically, listen to me. Some of us need to listen real close. Danny Ray, you need to listen. Solomon personifies wisdom as a she right here. There are times in our lives, there's times in my life where I need to realize that my wife is wiser than me. I think Solomon may have been on to something. If your wife is like my wife and she shakes her head at you in disapproval, it means that she knows something that you don't know, like you need to shut up. And I'm mainly talking to myself right now. I could go on and on and tell you stories about when Lori's been like, "You just need to sit by me and be quiet right now." However, I'm not good at that. She's 7 years younger than me, but at times is a lot wiser than me. So men, just pay attention to that. We see here in verse 14, though, that Solomon says that wisdom is more profitable than silver and gold. Guys, we live in this world where everything's commercialized and advertised. The next best thing is thrown at us with every click of a button. You just check your email. Just checking a work email, and there's all this stuff on the side. You check Facebook, social media, whatever you do, and there's these ads. And our world is programmed to throw the ad at us. And it is geared specifically towards what you search for in your little computer pocket, or pocket computer, whatever. And we're bombarded by this next best thing. Like, it's just always there. But what this is saying, it's a waste of time. We have the most valuable thing in wisdom right at our fingertips. And we have the source of it at our disposal at any time. But yet we chase these things. You know, a shiny diamond or necklace or whatever, jewelry, or whatever you think. It might not even be jewelry. That's just what we're talking about in the verse here. You know, you can sell that to anybody with a pulse. But if we're honest, we don't even do a great job of selling the profitability and the gain of the gospel to ourselves every day when we wake up. We'll chase that stuff all day long. But some days, we have to convince ourselves to open our Bible and seek what God has for us. We need to put that into perspective. Because, ladies, I'm not picking on your diamond ring. It's not about the ring. It's not about the diamond. It's not about the next best. It's about perspective and priority. What's our priority? You see, Solomon, when he first took over the throne and he prayed to God for wisdom and discernment, he could have prayed for power and wealth. But he didn't. He could have prayed for those things that would allow him to fix some problems temporarily. But in 1 Kings 3:9, he says, "So give your servant a receptive heart to judge your people and to discern between good and evil." So he asked God to give him a receptive heart to judge his people. That's wisdom. And to discern between good and evil so that he could lead these people. You know, power and wealth, riches, money, whatever, you know, it can't solve problems all the time. You can't buy back good health. You can't buy back a really bad decision. But wisdom proves to be long-lasting, and it serves us well. A diamond might fade. You could lose a ring. When you gain God's wisdom and hold on to it and continue to foster that, it's with you all the time. But see, we need to notice also, and we need to take note of what Solomon achieved once he gained God's wisdom. He went, he asked for it, God blessed him, and then we see, after he made it a priority in his life, we see the return. 2 Chronicles 9:22 says, King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the world in riches and wisdom. You see, Solomon knew the importance of relationship with God and having godly character. He ruled his people according to that, and God blessed him because of it. So guys, simply put, all these things that we're chasing, all these things that's been thrown at us all the time that we want, that get our attention as soon as we see it, I'm not saying that God's going to bless you, like, you know, with all this territory and all this stuff. But when we seek God's wisdom, those things that we desire, if we're honoring him, God honors that and he blesses us. You know, we see it here with Solomon. He blesses us, making him a priority. Verse 16. Long life is in her right hand, in her left, riches and honor. We can all relate to this, y'all. At some point, I don't know, it depends how rough you grew up, but you've probably been in a situation where at the end of it, you might have shook your head and maybe even been thankful to be alive, like Pete shaking his head. Glenn probably shaking his head. Frankie's probably done some stuff at work that probably made him shake his head and thankful to be alive too. Tell another story. I don't think my mom knows about this either. You see, we spent every other weekend with my dad. And my poor mom had to sit at home and make sure, or hope and pray that we got home alive. My dad was an alcoholic, and he drank a lot. But he liked to take us fishing and hunting every weekend too. And that meant he had to drive from the north end of Valdosta to the south end of Brooks County to let us do that. Well, a lot of times, y'all, I can laugh about this, so don't get it twisted, okay? It's just me. A lot of times that meant we couldn't go home on Saturday night because my dad had drank too much to drive us home. So we had to sleep wherever we could. I spent many nights sleeping on a dock, hoping I didn't fall in chairs that were around this man's property where we went fishing and hunting. Like, luckily, these people let us stay. But they were out of town a lot, so we couldn't always just go into their porch because it might be locked. And so we just slept wherever. So on one of these fine days, my oldest brother, which God bless his soul, was inebriated in his own ways. He didn't make good decisions. So he was able to drive and had a stick shift truck. I'm getting somewhere, okay? And he let my 13-year-old brother learn how to drive through the middle of a field that had just been haired up. And they told me to get in the back of the truck. I was 13. What could go wrong? I found out pretty quick. I didn't stay on my feet, but I'm here, and nobody died. So clearly put, God's wisdom leads to a longer life because it helps us to make better decisions. I was 13. I mean, you know, it just, yeah, I was a kid. But God's wisdom, if I'd have had more at 13, I wouldn't have gotten the bed of that truck. Nor would my 13-year-old brother got behind the wheel of that truck. Yeah, so. But to clarify this verse a little more, in this time in history, the right hand or the right side was viewed as superior to the left, because more people were right-handed, just like today. So where it says long life is in wisdom's right hand and riches and honor in its left, it's making a point that wisdom provides long life, and it is to be regarded in higher esteem. That's what it's talking about here. Verse 17. Her ways are pleasant and all her paths peaceful. We see this in 1 Kings 4:24 and 25. It says he had peace on all his surrounding borders. Throughout Solomon's reign, Judah and Israel lived in safety from Dan and Beersheba, each person under his own vine and his own fig tree. Guys, here we see God's provision of peace through Solomon's God-given wisdom. When we ask for wisdom and God grants it, when we search for it and seek and put in the work and we get it, yes, we are blessed by it. But wisdom has a trickle-down effect. Because just like the nation of Israel was blessed by Solomon's wisdom and his ability to make good decisions for the people, the people around us are blessed by our wisdom as well. Wisdom should not be a selfish thing. We should share it and we should use it for good. It's a trickle-down effect. If I'm wise and I make wise decisions, then my wife and my kids and my employees, they benefit from that as well. You know, the world we live in right now is not a pleasant or peaceful place. It's no different than any other time. We just have a lot of things that amplify it. But guys, as Christians, we have to make it a point to not add to that. Where we are on a daily basis, whether you're at the fire department or cutting grass, whether you're at the hospital, Pete, wherever you are, we have to make that place around us peaceful and pleasant. If not, we're adding to the chaos that is the world we live in. We have to go about our day in as peaceful a way as possible. Don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place for everything. There's a time and a place to put your foot down and fight for something. But in general, as Christians, as Christ followers, we are called to be pleasant and peaceful. And I'll be honest. We all know grumpy people that aren't pleasant or peaceful, that just wake up. Hey, what you laughing at? people that just wake up and it blows my mind. It's like they wake up just mad. And they want to make somebody else's day bad so that they, I don't know, they feel better about themselves. I don't know what it is. Y'all get what I'm saying? Some of these people are Christians. All day, every day. Let me tell you something. If you're squirming in your seat right now and your hands are a little sweaty because you feel like that might be you, I encourage you. I ain't trying to step on your toes, but reality is reality. I encourage you to seek God's wisdom and gain some peace out of it. Because guys, if God can work through Solomon and create peace within the nation of Israel after all they had been through, don't minimize what he can do, because he can make a peaceful individual out of you and I. I'll raise my hand first. For about 20 some odd years of my life, I'm 37, almost 38 now. For about 20 some odd years of my life, I was not pleasant or peaceful. Y'all know me now. I'm actually glad you didn't know me then. And I can't take credit for it. I'm not good enough or strong enough to do what God's done inside of me. God has made me that way. I used to wake up with a chip on my shoulder, didn't I? She's the only one that knows. And I've probably embarrassed her many times. Not probably, I have. I know I have. I was that person. So I'm not picking on you. I'm telling you it's possible, and I know it because I've lived it. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who hold on to her are happy. Guys, we've seen the result of embracing wisdom through the example that Solomon set and the way he led his people and grew the nation of Israel. He took wisdom and he used it as a tool. And yes, he gained riches and power, wealth, territory, all this stuff. But it all went back to God. So church, let's seek wisdom. But let's do it in the right frame of mind as Solomon did. If Solomon went to God, if he went before God to seek wisdom and discernment with a selfishness to him to just gain these things, he would have never found them. Listen to this. It's a long read, so bear with me. James 3:14 through 18 says this, and we'll wrap this thing up. It says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, and without pretense." It's exactly what we're talking about. Let's seek wisdom and let's do it with no selfishness in mind. Let's do it to praise God, to honor Him, and to do His work the way He wants us to. So I'll end with this right here. If you're seeking or searching for something, if you feel lost, if you feel like you're stuck in a rut, if you feel like you're at a crossroads and don't know which way to go, wherever you're at right now in life, stop spinning your wheels and stop trying to handle it on your own and seek wisdom from God. Get into His Word and let it marinate in your soul. Let it sit there. And it will never return void. The Bible tells us that. The Bible promises us that. And those are the only promises that we can take as guarantees in our life. Guys, if you're going through something right now, which we are, all of us are right now. It could be small. It could be big. If you don't think you are, something's right around the corner. Your paycheck, the things you have, they're not going to get you through those moments. But God's wisdom, you can lean on that. And it ain't going to topple over. You can take God's wisdom, and it's a gift that it really, really, truly keeps on giving. It will get you through life. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, the only way to gain that wisdom is by doing so. That wisdom comes through us accepting that blood that ran down the cross. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for the example that Solomon set, the life lessons that he left us in the writings in the Bible, Lord, and the promises that you give us. Lord, I just ask that you'll help us take your word and just apply it to our lives. Help us to go out in this world we live in and just make a difference, be peaceful, be pleasant, and just go about doing your work, Lord, in a way that's pleasing to you. Lord, I just ask that if there's anybody that just wants to make a decision to follow you today, Lord, I pray that they'll come down and we can talk, or we can talk afterwards, whatever they want to do, Lord. I just pray that they'll feel comfortable enough to do so. Lord, I just ask that you be with us through the rest of this week and keep us mindful of you and alert and just go about shedding your light wherever we are, Lord. We love you and thank you. Amen.